Are consumers really ready to shift more of their spending to local businesses? Let's find out on episode number 77 of Power to the Small Business.
Branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the internet show all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the small business.
Hey there, I'm Jay Arrett, Chief Officer of Awesomeness at themarketingspot.com and curator of the Marketing Spot blog. We're going to talk about a tremendous time for local businesses, and our guest is consumer expert and author John Gersma. But first, some announcements. The long-awaited arrival of the Entrepreneur's Edge is close. The Entrepreneur's Edge is my premium online learning center for small business owners and entrepreneurs. It is coming soon. It was delayed because basically I'm a small businessman just like you, and I am in charge of creating all the content. And when I go down with allergies, I go down and everything gets delayed. So it's coming in the next week to 10 days. Be patient. I'm trying to be myself. I've got a couple of local speaking gigs coming up, but I really would like to invite you to join me in New York City on June 15th and 16th for the 140 Characters Conference, New York City, titled Exploring the State of Now. 140 Characters Conferences, they are awesome. They are fast-paced, speakers and panels for 10 minutes, and then it's on to the next one. And a great lineup, too, especially in New York City. It really is amazing. You got the big names like Deepak Chopra and Ann Curry of NBC. And then you have some of those people I really admire. Not that they're not big names, but not like, you know, like Deepak Chopra. But Becky McCray, Chris Penn, big brands, small brands, nonprofits, you name it, they'll be there. And I will too. My presentation will be Now Is Your Brand. The voice inflection on the end there was the question mark. So it's Now Is Your Brand? Question mark. Anyway, that's my presentation. If you hurry up and register, it's just $140 plus the cost of your travel to New York City. Jeff Pulver has done an excellent job, an amazing job of putting together these 140 Characters conferences. They're a lot of fun, a lot of great speakers, a lot of great networking, and just a good time to learn some new stuff. And not only that, it's a great excuse to go to New York, right? The website is 140conf.com, 140conf.com, or just do a Google for 140 Characters Conference, and you will find it. I hope to see you in New York on June 15th and 16th. So in early March, I was invited by Adobe to go to Salt Lake City to cover the Adobe Omniture Summit for online marketing. Yeah, nice invitation, right? Full disclosure here, also Adobe sponsored the trip. So Salt Lake City is a beautiful city. The skiing was great. The Lenny Kravitz concert was very cool. But I did go there to learn, and learn I did. One of the keynotes was delivered by John Gersma of Young and Rubicam and author of Spend Shift. Now, during his keynote, John said that consumers were ready and willing to shift more of their spending to locally owned businesses. That perked my ears right up. But he also said that you have to do more than just open your doors. It's not simply build it and they will come. You have to earn your share of this shift. So I caught up with John after his speech and before he dashed out to the airport to catch a plane. And we got a quick interview with him. It's short, but it's packed with a lot of important stuff. And then stick around after our conversation. I'm going to dive deeper into the subject. So this was recorded in Salt Lake City nearly 2 months ago at the Adobe Omniture Summit. Here's my conversation with John Gersma, author of Spend Shift, How the Post-Crisis Values Revolution is Changing the Way We Buy, Sell, and Live. And we just caught up with John Gersma. He gave the keynote speech this morning at Adobe Omniture Summit here in Salt Lake City. We're catching him about an hour or two after the speech. And it was called Spend Shift, based on his new book of the same title, which is now available on Kindle, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and I'm sure other places too. Hey, John, thanks for spending some time with us here on The Big Show.
Hey, Jay, appreciate it. Thanks a lot for having me. You talked a lot about local brands in your keynote, and it really caught my attention because, you know, local brands have been taking a beating the last several years, but you're seeing a shift in that. Can you explain that shift?
Sure, Jay. I mean, one of the interesting things that happened in our data and Brand Asset Evaluator is we noticed that during the crisis, literally about a 20% margin improved in people's preference for local brands. Sort of said another way, people were opening up their pocketbooks and their sort of portfolio to taking local brands, generic brands, brands that weren't necessarily national retail brands, and putting them into their preference set. And so we call that block party capitalism, which is another theme around the crisis, is that there was so much lack of trust in institutions that was brought on by the events of the last 3 years that people feel a little more comfort in the local brands, and they also feel like they're doing something strong for their community.
Now, what about the local entrepreneurship, though? Are we ready? Are local entrepreneurs ready for that shift and, you know, the renewed love affair with local brands?
So for the book Spend Shift, we traveled around the country in many of the markets that we went into, places like Brooklyn, Detroit, even Tampa. There was a big emphasis on this idea around a virtuous circle, which was the more and more that local innovation, local entrepreneurs are recognizing that they have a contribution to make to their community, the more that those patrons are supporting those local businesses. And that's, again, part of this broader macro trend where people just don't trust big institutions. I mean, we've seen a 58% decline in trust in institutions in 3 years as a result of the crisis. So the opportunity for local entrepreneurs are significant. And I think it comes down to knowing your customers, figuring out a way that you're going to give back through your product, your service, your brand, and actually helping those customers organize and amplify in a way that can help you build your business. I'll give you a quick example. One of the entrepreneurs that we tracked for our book was named Kim Pham, and she's the owner of the Kalesse Tea Lounge in Tampa. Small business, but a growing business, and she creates organic teas. She actually connected with a Carrot Mob, and a Carrot Mob is a group of people that are organizing via Twitter, Facebook, and others to scale their spending to support a company to do the right thing. She basically saw her business triple on the basis of sort of patronizing and working with this Carrot Mob to help her. Her commitment to the Carrot Mob was she was going to improve her green practices, and her business grew as a result.
So what do you think the consumer acceptance is for brands locally? Because we've been through, as you referred to several times during your speech, the crisis, the financial crisis, you know, disposable income, a little tougher right now. Do you think that consumers, which I'm using that word, I know you call that a derogatory term during your speech also, the customers or consumers, however you want to refer to them, what do you think their tolerance is for maybe paying a little bit more for local brands than they would for the bigger brands?
Well, so in the survey data in BAV, there were nearly two-thirds of people, about 66%, I think, 65%, that said that they'd be willing to pay for a premium for companies that contributed to their local community. Now, that's stated behavior. That's not actual behavior. That's sort of, you know, attitude. I think when it comes down to really opening up your pocketbook, one of the things that we saw in all the interviews we did was not making this sort of a forced choice for your customer. So in the case of a company like Recycle Bank that basically rewards people for recycling, giving them frequent flyer points and an incentive for doing the right thing, that's something I think local businesses have to understand, is what can you do that makes them want to contribute to you but gives them some sort of benefit in return, whether that's a benefit of some sort of discount, feeling part of the community, finding new ways to incentivize those groups. In the case of Recycle Bank, these frequent flyer miles basically gave permission to people in Waltham, Massachusetts to really support local recycling, and they saw their recycling go up from 5% to 22%.
So it's not about, hey, I'm a local business, you need to support your local businesses, right?
Yeah, no, it's just like with everything, it's not a one-way street. And I think that a lot of what local businesses can do on the local entrepreneurial side is really build these customer-based constituencies, just as Kim did with her Kalesse Tea Lounge, and do things like only hire local people that live in your neighborhood. This whole idea of sort of keeping tax dollars local, finding ways to reinvest in the neighborhood was a theme across a lot of the companies that we saw, and was really magnified in a place like Detroit, where we saw local entrepreneurs working together to create what was called the Detroit Declaration, that was all about sort of a joint endeavor between both businesses, the community, the Chamber of Commerce, and customers to rebuild inner city Detroit.
Let's see if we can get some advice from you for the local entrepreneurs on how to build these brands locally that draws in the local business and the local loyalty. You talked about a couple of different, actually three different points you brought up during your speech were character, authenticity, and narratives. How can local entrepreneurs inject that into their brand and make it a stronger brand?
Well, one of the reasons we see preferences improving for local brands is that inside those stories, those brands are stories. There's narrative, and that's something that we actively seek out when we're looking to support a company or wanting to sort of have an experience with a brand. So there's a tremendous opportunity with local brands to be able to build that folklore, that narrative, whether it's the story of your origins, the commitments that you make as a company to give back to the community. You know, that exists across the spectrum of these local brands. And, you know, when we spent time in Brooklyn, we interviewed probably, 30 different businesses that were all steeped in this like local culture, and people were supporting brands like Marlowe and Sons Restaurants or Brooklyn Brine Pickles because they had a story behind them. So I'd really encourage, you know, those innovators, those entrepreneurs, not to take that for granted, that as you're thinking about scaling and becoming a big boy, what you really want to understand is what makes you really special to begin with and celebrate that specialness as a USP.
John Gersma, co-author of Spendshift. And reminder, I will have complete show notes as well as links to John's stuff and the book at powertothesmallbusiness.com. So customers will not just do business with you because you're local. You still have to give them a reason. But when you do, they are more likely to do business with you. Now, John mentioned three keys: character, authenticity, and narrative, and that's what I'd like to dive a little deeper into right now. The first was character, or personality. When you say character, or you know a character, characters are rich, deep, and compelling. They're the other side of the spectrum from stereotypes. Stereotype businesses follow the crowd. They are a predictable copy, and copies lack the character of the original. This is largely what franchises are, copies, and they lack character. Because it's the same business everywhere. It's also what the big brands are, copies. They have the same stores everywhere. You've been in one, you've mostly been in them all. Don't be a stereotype business. What you would rather be is an archetype business. Archetypes are the opposite of stereotypes. They serve as models. They are the businesses that get copied because they are the businesses that have personality. So add some personality to your business. Be rich. Be deep. Be unexpected. Do stuff that other businesses don't do. That's what characters do. They do stuff that other people won't do. So add some character to your business. Authenticity. Now this plays off of character. Authenticity means be who you are. And not putting up this facade of a perfect business, a well-oiled, sterile machine. Be a business of real people. How do locals behave? Behave like that. In Spendshift, John and his co-authors say that, and I'm quoting here now, authenticity is now about whether your customers can feel your struggles. When they see the process of how a new company tries to go about solving problems, they get a window into their thinking and begin to root for them to succeed. That's the end of the quote. Now, I don't think this means you have to open up your books to your customers, and it doesn't mean that your employees get to do whatever they want. But it does mean don't try to put on airs, as the saying goes, which means to act better than one really is, to pretend to be good or to be superior. Be a real local business. You can be a planned business without being a business that puts on airs. Dismantle your ego. With authenticity, customers begin to feel like they're making an investment in your business rather than just buying something from you. Let customers feel like they are part of your business, part of your success. The final quality was narrative. And these are the stories inside your brand and the story of your brand. Share your story. Make it public. Don't force it on people. And the first part of that is to actually know what your narrative is. My narrative is, 6 days after 9/11, I walked into my manager's office and I gave notice that I was leaving my well-paid job as one of the top advertising sales reps at Clear Channel Communications to start my own business. In retrospect, my timing wasn't right. It took me 5 months before I gave myself my first paycheck, $500. And yes, my wife was thrilled. Now, that's the beginning of my narrative. And your narrative is also about your business, how you and your customers work together, how you are part of your community. But there's also the narrative of your customers. If they spend money with you, their narrative, their story, is your story too. All that stuff makes up your business, so don't leave it out. Don't be a sterile business without character. Have a narrative. Embrace it. Share it. Character. Authenticity. Narrative. Three ingredients to inject into your business to earn that shift in spending that consumers are ready to give local businesses. Okay, if you want to know more about this, the book Spend Shift is loaded with lots of case studies. John did a lot of research for this book, so I will link to it in the show notes. The complete show notes will be available at powertothesmallbusiness.com. I'll have links to John Gersma and to the book Spend Shift. Now, when you see his name, it's going to look like it's John Gersma. That's the way it's spelled. It's pronounced like with the silent E, Gersma. So John Gersma, Spend Shift at Young & Rubicam in New York. So complete show notes, powertothesmallbusiness.com. I mentioned in the last episode that this podcast will be changing. I'm getting a little closer to deciding on what that change will be, but I'm not ready to announce it yet. So I'm going to stop teasing you. When I'm ready to change it, I'll let you know and let you know what's going to happen. Meanwhile, head over to my website, because I've got to make a living, right? TheMarketingSpot.com. Sign up for the blog feed, and you will be notified when I launch The Entrepreneur's Edge. And I will have a very generous launch sign-up special. Be tuned in for that. You can also join me on my Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/TheMarketingSpot. Very clever, right? We get together. There's a little more regular conversation. I'm on there almost every day. Feel free to post a question there if you'd like for me to answer it. Or you can also email me and we'll address something on this podcast too. It's Jay, that's J-A-Y, at themarketingspot.com. And if you're not listening in iTunes, hey, you can sign up for that at the podcast website, powertothesmallbusiness.com. My name is Jay Arrett. I hope you'll join me next time on the internet show that's all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
Our thanks to Mary Lynn Foster of The Big Success Show for the opening and closing credits of the podcast. You can find Mary Lynn at The Big Success Podcast, BIGGSuccess.com.